Welcome to the show, ESPN 102.5 The Game, the Luke Rogers Brain Gall, and that sound means one thing and one thing only. Buck Rising joining us on the program. Demi Lovato, correct? Did I get that name? Did I get that name right? I'm not.
Can't believe I did that.
I'm very out of touch, Buck. Thank you for joining us, sir. How are you, buddy?
I am so much better now that I've heard the sweet, sweet sounds of Demi Lovato, and I have my coffee. I'm ready to go.
All right, so Matt LaFleur, Dean Pease, both sort of had their chance to sort of speak to the media yesterday for the first time. Just your general perception, and did we learn anything yesterday from either one of these two guys?
Well, we learned that Dean Pease was not forced to retire, that he did not leave Baltimore on any kind of contentious terms, although I don't know if you guys saw the comments from the Ravens owner, Steve Bisciotti, yesterday, saying that they have a nepotism rule that likely would have made it impossible for Dean Pease to work with his son, which is, he's of course coming to the Titans staff as a quality control coach. It read, I didn't see the comments live, but in print it reads like kind of a shot. It's an interesting situation that they've got. You're bringing one coach out of retirement, and the arguably the most important coach that you had to hire this offseason was the offensive coordinator, who doesn't have any experience, and Matt LaFleur doesn't have any experience calling plays, but he's got quite an impressive track record of working with quarterbacks in some of the best seasons that they've had in their careers. So, Luke would probably speak better to this than I would because he's just been around it longer, but I don't really know if there's a situation quite like the Tennessee Titans have with this new coaching staff.
Is that a subtle shot at my age, Buck?
That's right.
Oh, well, appreciate that. Yeah, I kind of miss your face here in studio. you know, the whole thing about Matt LaFleur not calling plays, just touched on that for a second. I don't think that's a big deal in my mind.
Right.
I think that he's coming from a system that really was built around the skill set of Jared Goff and helping him ease into his season as far as making easy throws. And really, ultimately, if you look at what the offense did in Los Angeles under Sean McVay last year, they just tried continuously to get the ball to their best player, and that's Todd Gurley. And
certainly,
I think it's a really simple concept, but I think it's something that can work here in Tennessee. And I'm really, really, really excited, and that's a lot of it really, but I'm really excited. I'm really excited to have an offensive-minded guy like LaFleur, who's now your coordinator, coming out and talking about the fundamentals and footwork. Because if you know anything, and I know you do, this whole last year we harped on the footwork. I did, especially harped on the footwork of Marcus Mariota how I thought it was poor and how I thought that set precedent for his poor play this season and how he lost the whole offseason of not being able to work on his fundamentals. And to have that be one of the first things out of your offensive coordinator's mouth, I think is monumentally big for the development of Marcus Mariota. We've talked about the development. That's been a reoccurring theme the last few years, is when is he going to take that big step? It's supposed to be the third year. Didn't happen this year. We saw regression. We now have a guy that understands the quarterbacking position to the point where he's talking about, let's start with footwork. Let's start with fundamentals. And Buck, I can't emphasize how important that's going to be for this Titans team and for this offense, because we all know it all starts with the quarterback in the NFL. And for quarterbacks, it all starts with your base and your footwork.
Well, and Matt LaFleur is not the only one preaching fundamentals. I mean, that is Mike Vrabel's whole mantra, that, you know, it's almost more important to be fundamentally sound than it is to be athletically gifted. The new quarterbacks coach, Pat O'Hara, said the same thing of Vrabel, that he preaches fundamentals to the extent that it is almost as important as your natural ability. And that's one of the biggest mistakes that I think Mike Mularkey's staff made with Marcus Mariota. They treated him primarily as an athlete first and then as a quarterback second. They seem to want to use his natural abilities more than, I think anybody would deem necessary. And so what you're saying about LaFleur is absolutely, you know, it's very promising. It's the only concerns that I have with him is, and let's not take anything away from Matt LaFleur. I don't mean to do that. After his first media availability, but with the Rams offense, they did go from worst to first in points. I think that's only been done one other time in NFL history. But what they were doing in Los Angeles was, before the 15-second mark on the play clock, they would have Jared Goff at the line of scrimmage, because the coach to quarterback communication in Goff's helmet would shut off before the 15-second mark. Sean McVay, the head coach of the Los Angeles Rams, was helping Goff audible at the line of scrimmage before the 15-second mark. And so that's the only reason that I have some trepidation, if any, with what LaFleur is going to be able to do, because I just don't know how much he really had to do with the in-game success of the Los Angeles Rams. Obviously, he's part of the install, and he's part of, you know, what they do in practice on a day-by-day basis. It's just I've never seen anything like what they were doing in Los Angeles this season, and that's the only reason that I would have any trepidation at all. But yeah, no, what I think is as promising as anything with this coaching staff is that Mike Vrabel didn't hire a bunch of his buddies. I mean, LaFleur said that he had not met Vrabel or Pat O'Hara, the quarterback's coach, prior to this process. And this, I mean, the coaching staff's backgrounds, you know, vary from first NFL head coaching gigs, two of them, Tony Dews and Terry Coombs, the running back and secondaries coach, to a bunch of really experienced NFL coaches, position coaches, who have been in the league for some 20 years, some 6 years across the board, and some who have just gotten their first NFL head coaching gigs. I mean, it's really a varied staff. And I think that, well, for now, that bodes well, just because you'll have a different amount of experience and opinions that'll be able to go into this season. And it'll be, you know, I think that's a good thing to have a varied amount of opinions and experience across the board.
Buck Rising joining us here, covering the Tennessee Titans here for ESPN 102.5 The Game. Buck, from a roster standpoint, what is Matt LaFleur and John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, what are their priorities on this offense as far as roster goes this offseason?
Well, they really wouldn't speak to that too terribly much. It's not like we didn't try to get it out of them. They were more focused yesterday on saying, you know, we're not able to obviously get these guys in the building and work on football stuff quite yet. It's just because of the communication rules in the NFL during the offseason. They really wouldn't commit to any kind of, you know, specificity in terms of personnel. They're just trying to look at what they have right now and start from there, because obviously half of them just got into the building. I don't even know if these people have places to live in Nashville yet.
Well, tell me what you think, Buck. That's why I've got you on the radio show. I want to know where you think they need to address issues.
Oh, well, that's not what you asked me.
Fair enough.
Buck is a wordsmith. Very literal here.
Well, what I think they need to do, I mean, a lot of your key pieces are already in place. And what's more important is the key pieces that are in place are cheap. The quarterback is cheap. The wide receivers are cheap because you've just gotten them on the roster, at least the primary wide receivers. Obviously, you need to add somebody with speed. Taywan Taylor was supposed to be a wide receiver in that mold. He had trouble ingratiating himself into the system. You don't know whether that was, now that we look back on it and see the offensive struggles that we have, we don't know whether that was coaching or whether that was just his inability to adapt to the college game quite as quickly as you would have hoped. But they really don't have any game-breaking speed on offense. And then you obviously have the issue of the two guards who are going to be, Klein is a free agent. I don't think you can pay him. You can draft somebody cheaper at that position. So from an offensive standpoint, I really just think you need somebody with some kind of speed on that offense other than the quarterback or the first-round rookie corner that you try to use on gadget plays.
Buck, a couple questions on the defensive side of the ball here for you. What do you think our new defensive coordinator brings to that unit? And what do you expect to see differently from last year's defense and the things we've seen in the past under the old regime?
Well, it's interesting because with Dean Pease coming out of retirement, it's not like he left a bad gig in Baltimore. I mean, they led the league in turnovers. They were one of the most impressive defenses on paper this season, if not the most impressive defense on paper, other than Jacksonville or what Philadelphia did, even though they just got torched by a 41-year-old quarterback for 505 yards to the air. In terms of what Dean Pease brings that is different from LeBeau. LeBeau runs a ton of man coverage. You leave your secondary kind of out on an island more than necessary just because he likes to blitz with, you know, a fair amount of regularity. So I would expect that there would be more disguise, I would say, with how the defense is schemed. Dean Pease likes to run a lot of different concepts. Vrabel, in his introductory press conference, was preaching front multiplicity. So it's not this, you're not really going to have any kind of set base defense rather than just, you know, saying that they're going to be a 3-4 or a 4-3 or something of the like. They are going to implement as many packages as possible, given whatever limitations they may have with personnel, obviously. But I think there's going to be a good deal more disguise to do what Baltimore was able to do last season, and that's confuse quarterbacks and turn the ball over with much more regularity than they did. Because other than Kevin Byard, guys, I mean, there really wasn't anybody turning the ball over for the Tennessee Titans last season.
Buck Rising, always a pleasure, man. You can follow him on Twitter, at Buck Rising, covering the Titans for 102.5 The Game. Appreciate it, buddy. Thanks a lot, man.
Always a pleasure. Miss you, Luke.
There
you go,
Buck.
You got a shout-out. I like that. I like that. All right, Buck. See you later. I don't miss you. Be good.
Yeah, congrats on the new show, Buck.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you. when we come back, we'll get into what Matt LaFleur said yesterday. The most important thing you need to know about what he said yesterday and what it means for Marcus Mariota. We'll